Just out of curiosity, let me see a show of hands how many people heard the announcement of what we were going to speak about this afternoon. Raise your hand if you know. Wow, and you came anyway. That's awesome. The rest of you, well, let me tell you, we're going to be talking about tithes and offering. You see, sometimes when they mention that in the announcements, you know, and now we're going to collect our tithes and offering, a lot of people don't even understand that. We take it for granted sometimes. Those of us who have been raised in churches and who have come from church backgrounds, we know what tithes is, the 10% of our income. We give it to the work of the Lord. But other people just say, well, I don't know what that is, and I don't care. And so today we're just going to touch base on that. It's in no way an in-depth study, an all-inclusive study of what tithes mean. But let me encourage you, if you still have questions about tithes, you can come to the New Believers classes that meet on Fridays and also on Sundays at 2:00 to 2:30 and Friday nights. And they cover that topic as well as many other topics. And you could feel free to ask questions to your facilitators and ask those questions that so many people have about what should I tithe my gross or my net income, or what if my spouse doesn't want to tithe and I want to tithe, and all those other issues that may arise with the issue of tithing. In the Old Testament, it's considered the king's portion, the portion that belongs to the king. And it predates the Mosaic Law. It predates the time of the written law that was given to the children of Israel. In fact, it goes back all the way to Genesis 14:20. We see the first picture of this tithing when Abraham meets the king of Salem, the king of peace, and he gives him a tithe or tenth of all the spoil that he had won in the battle. And later on, we see in the Old Testament how God's calls the people to set apart a tenth of all their earning to give to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and considering, acknowledging that God was their king, that they didn't have a physical earthly ruler over them, but they had a God who was their king, who watched over them, who protected them, who was their maker, who was their master, who was their provision. And he was asking them just to bring a tenth of that which he had already provided to their lives, that which already was the Lord's, basically. He's asking them to bring it. And at the same time, he asked the Levites who were receiving this tenth from the congregation to give a tenth of what they received. So it was for everybody. Everybody was giving one-tenth of their income. Now, we're going to be talking about this issue, but I don't want anybody to leave here with this legalistic mentality of something that it's something that you have to do to earn heaven, to earn points in heaven, to have favor with God. No, this is a blessing that God has granted us. It's an exercise of faith that God has given us. I don't want anybody to go out and think, oh, that church is preaching tithes and offering just like every other pulpit that has probably misled many. There are many churches who have abused this message and misused the word of God to fleece the flock and to gain wealth and riches. That's not what we're preaching. In fact, if you've been here any length of time in Times Square Church, you know that that's not preached from this pulpit. And we thank God for that. But sometimes we kind of like enjoy that it's not spoken about, so that, you know, nobody knows. My left hand doesn't know what my right hand is giving, so I don't have to give at all. And we forget that Jesus was the one who stood right beside the treasury and was watching how people were giving offering. And he saw the widow give two mites, and he praised her for that. He went to the disciples. He made a big deal, a big fuss over what she had given. And she said, and they saw that people were giving in a lot of money. And he said, she gave more than all of them. Because he was interested in the issue of the heart, you see. Tithes and offering is much more than what your wallet and your pocketbook and your checking account say. It's what's in the heart that Jesus is interested in. It's the concern of the heart that we're dealing with this morning. In fact, he rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees at one point because they would tithe. They would tithe everything that came in. They would tithe every spice that they got, every grain that they came. They would take out a tenth and make it a point to tithe every little thing. No matter how small that came in, they would take a tenth out of it and give it in. But there was hypocrisy in their hearts. You see, there was they were omitting the weightier elements of the law, or the true essence of the law, which Jesus called judgment, mercy, and faith. And he said, you should do both. You should be tithing, but your heart should be where your treasure is. So I've titled this message, Putting Your Money Where Your Heart Is. Amen? Because it's a matter of the heart. It's a concern of the heart. It's almost like parents who are concerned about their kids because they see they don't do much around the house. You know, they don't contribute, they're growing up, and it's high time that they learn that they need to respond and they need to show that they're part of this family and show that it should be part of their maturity process and their concern, not so much because the dishes aren't done, but because my child is not moving a finger to do the dishes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the concern. The concern of the parent is the heart. What's wrong with the heart of these children that aren't standing up to do their part and contributing to the benefit of the household? Amen? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's talk about the blessings of giving. What is it that's in store for us as we choose to walk in this way of giving? And we choose to sanctify our pocketbook and let it line up with our praise, and sanctify our wallet and let it align itself with our worship, so that we're speaking the same thing through our praises as we are in our giving. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. Some people even have a problem with collecting offering in the sanctuary. They think it's a break in the worship, but it's part of our worship, okay? We worship through our giving. First of all, one of the blessings of giving is that it's a picture of God's heart. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." God is a giving God. This is his very essence. This is his nature. He's a God who delights to give. He doesn't give grudgingly. He doesn't give because he has his arm twisted in his back and he's by some type of legal obligation to give. He gives because he's a giving God. His heart is a heart that gives. Ever since the beginning of creation, he's giving life to every creature, every living thing. He gives Adam a wife. And all the single guys who are looking for a wife, say amen. And all the married guys should say amen as well. It's a good thing. He gives them a garden to tend to. He gives the children of Israel deliverance from their enemies, victory over their foes. He gives them protection, provision in the wilderness. We see it all through the Bible, a giving God. He gives them victory over their enemies. He gives them a land flowing with milk and honey. The Psalms bear witness that he gives strength. He gives salvation. He gives grace. He gives glory. He gives our daily bread. He gives us refuge. He gives us rest. God is a giving God. Jesus told his disciples, "I give you peace. Not like the world gives you peace. I give you peace." Amen? He gives eternal life. He gives sight to the blind. He gives living water that this world cannot offer. This world cannot give us. He gives power to overcome the temptations of the enemy. He gives us whatever we ask according to his will. He gives, and he gives. Our God is a giving God. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He gives the increase, 1 Corinthians 3:7. James 1:5 says, "Gives all men generously and ungrudgingly." He gives grace, James 4:6, to the humble. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." Amen. And ultimately, in Luke 22:19, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you." For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the very nature of the gospel that we preach, that God gives. He gives mercifully. He gives abundantly. He gives faithfully. We could never outgive God. We're no match for God. God continues to give. When we're undeserving of his grace, he continues to give. He's an amazing God, and his heart is for us, not against us. So I want you to keep that in mind. This is not a heavy message. This is not a message that to leave, oh, with this heavy condemnation. Oh, I haven't been given enough. His love is towards you. He is not interested so much in what comes into the offering plate. He's interested in what's in your heart, and what's in your heart is going to produce a giving nature in you, because it's his very nature that's being worked out in our hearts. Amen? So every time we give, we're portraying the very image, the very essence of a giving God, a loving God, the heart of his giving nature. We bear witness to the love of God. In fact, in 1 John 3:17, he says, "But whoso hath the world's goods and seeth his brother have a need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" In other words, if you're withholding from giving to the needy, how can you say that the love of God dwells in you if that's the very nature of God, the very love of God to give to those who are in need? Amen? Every time you and I choose to reach out to the poor and to the fatherless, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're preaching the Father to the fatherless. We're preaching the good news to the poor. Every time we choose to feed the hungry and the homeless, His name is being proclaimed. His name is being blessed. We're proclaiming that He is the bread of life. We're opening up a door into the hearts who don't know Him to receive the bread of life. Because how can you preach to someone about the bread of life if he has no bread in his stomach? So we're giving them a tangible evidence that God is faithful to His promise. And when He says, the anointing of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, it's true, and yay and amen. Every time we choose to support a missionary on the mission field or a ministry, my friends, we're encouraging their faith. We're uplifting them. We're confirming the calling that God placed upon their life. We're enhancing and moving forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12, 13, you can look it up on your leisure time. The Apostle Paul says that when you give, when you've given to the work of God, you're producing in others thanksgiving to God. You're producing a furtherance of the gospel. You're producing prayers and supplications. Listen to this, prayers and supplications for the giver. They're thanking God because you gave. Every time you put into the offering plate, you're producing thanksgiving in the heart of some missionary, somebody who's receiving a helping hand. They are praising God for you. It's an amazing thought. People all over the world are praising God for Times Square Church. They're thanking God for the ministry here that you're partaking of because you have chosen to be obedient. You've chosen to be diligent in your giving. And they are praising God. They're reaffirmed in their calling. They're reaffirmed in their strength. How many times they feel like giving up and they receive something of the Lord because we've chosen to give. And that encourages them. That's the bread that the angel comes, like we heard this morning, to say, arise and eat. I still got work for you to do. They receive that gift, as it were, from the very hand of God. Amen. And lastly, sometimes when we pay our debts, it produces a testimony that truly God is working in our lives. It's sad to say, but I have to confess that when I came to the Lord, I had a debt with my grandmother. I had asked her for some money, and I had intended in my heart to give it back, but time passed, and this was before I was saved, and procrastination got a hold of it, and I just kind of like left it as something untouched and untalked about. But it was there, nagging at my mind. I owe her that money. What happens? God comes to my life. He gets a hold of my heart, and He gets a hold of my wallet. He gets a hold of my whole life. Everything. All right? When we're saved, we're saved. Amen? Every part of us. We don't go into the baptism tunk and leave the wallet outside. We go down with everything, our future, our plans, our dreams, our aspirations. We go down with everything. God began to put it in my heart. You got to pay your grandma back. Pay your grandma back. So I sent her a check or whatever it was. I sent her the money. And word came to me. Now, she didn't know my experience, that my recent experience with the Lord, that God had gotten a hold of my life and turned me around, changed me. She hadn't heard of that. But word came to me that her first reaction was, when she got the check or the money, was, this must be the Lord. I don't know if the Lord is speaking to somebody here, but there are some debts that when they're paid, they're going to bring glory to God. People are going to say, wow, maybe there's something about this person's preaching and about this person's going to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? It produces a fruit in our heart. Amen? So it's a picture of God's heart. It's also a product of a grateful heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we give because we're grateful to God. We're thankful because He's given Himself to us. He's given us so much. He's blessed us beyond measure. And out of that abundance of gratitude, out of that abundance of gratefulness in our hearts, we thank Him. We want to give to His work. We want to bless somebody else with what He has blessed us with. Amen? We love Him because He first loved us. It's not the other way around. We don't give so that God can bless us, like it's preached in so many circles. You give so that God can bless you and multiply what you've given. No, that's not what we preach. We give because He has multiplied His glory and His blessing towards us. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Moses speaks to a people that are well aware that the Lord has delivered them out of the hand of Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh. They've seen mighty wonders in Exodus chapter 35. And he calls them to take up among them an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, he says in verse 5 of chapter 35 of Exodus. And he says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom in his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. And they brought all kinds of material, gold and silver and all sorts of fabrics and things so that this tabernacle can be built. So much so that in chapter 36, Moses has to tell him, stop. Imagine that happening in church. We don't have to take an offering today. You've given so much, we don't need it. Everything's paid for. He has to tell them, stop, because that was their heart. Their heart was so filled with gratitude because they had come out of bondage, out of the strong hand of a taskmaster who was abusing them. And they knew that only God's power had delivered them. They knew there was no way they could have rescued themselves. It was all by the hand of God. So now they belong to God. They feel redeemed. They feel bought with a price. You and I were bought with much more a precious price, the blood of Jesus on Calvary. Our life belongs to him. Our finances belong to him. All that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be belongs to my master. I give it to him. He's the Lord of all creation and he's the Lord of this creation. Amen? Amen. He told the people, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. He made me in his image. Therefore, his image is stamped upon my heart. So I give him my life and I give him everything that I have. He has redeemed me. He has not only entrusted me with material goods, but he's entrusted me with his son. He's my portion. He's my life. He's my provision. He's my inheritance. What is money compared to the life eternal that he has granted me? So I give out of a grateful heart. I mean, sometimes we withhold tip because the waiter doesn't even treat us the way we want to. Have you ever done that? I'm not giving 20%. I'm just 18%? No, they didn't even refill my glass with Coca-Cola. And we give to somebody because they gave us a ride and we say, listen, here's for gas, a little something for gas. We give out of appreciation. Man, God has given us the air that we breathe. God has given us the blood that pumps through our hearts. We woke up this morning because God allowed it. God allowed it. My friends, it's not about 10%. We'll see later on, 10% is just a discipline, an exercise that you and I need. We need it. It's not that he needs it. It's not that he says, hey, you're cheating me out of 10%. Hey, I need this. You know, things in heaven are getting pretty bad, tight. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But he wants to see gratitude in our hearts. He wants to see fruit of his life working out within us and his heart working out within us. Amen? Moving on. It's not only a picture of God's heart, a product of gratitude, but it's protection that guards our heart. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Say faith. 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 And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 9 of that same chapter says, but they that will seek after or try to be rich, they seek after riches, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. My friends, I don't know if you see it like I see it, but I need to put into the offering plate more than the person on the other side that's going to receive it. I need it, and God knows I need it. I think that's why God has given us the wisdom of tithing and offering. He's given us this as an opportunity for us to detach ourselves from that which could withhold our heart and grip our hearts in such a way that it would keep us from the fullness of what God has for us. You see, you could bring a people out of Egypt, but it's another thing to bring Egypt out of the people. And sometimes he saves us, but there's still a little bit of love for money, there's still a little bit of dependence upon material things to get us by. And God wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to walk in trust and in obedience to him. He wants us to walk there and know that he's the one that can bring us through. So he puts an exercise into our hands and says, listen, I want you to trust me in this. I want you to prove me in this. Test me. Just give to me. Set it apart. It's called holy unto the Lord. Bring it to me and you see what I'll do. See what I'll do. I want to work out a testimony to increase your faith, to build up your encouragement, to build up your confidence in a God who will not fail you, a God who's true to his promises. He knows that when we hold on to riches, the riches can begin to hold on to us and begin to become our treasure and begin to become our idol and the things we rest upon. It's funny because when we put our trust in the American dollar, then the words that it says on the dollar, in God we trust, become empty words. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. You can't serve God and mammon or wealth and money at the same time. You're going to hate one and despise the other. Eventually, it's going to come if you yield your heart to this thing and you hold on to it. And God knows the danger. God knows the temptation. God knows our hearts and our inclinations. So he gives us an awesome exercise, which is almost like so wise, because if I were to ask everyone here to do 20 push-ups, it would be unfair. Some people would say, hey, that's not fair. You know, that's good for these young guys. They could do 20 push-ups, but hey, I haven't, you know, done much exercise. But he says, you know what? 10%. It's like cross the board. It's like, trust me in that. Trust me in that. Whatever you want to give over that, just give over that. But trust me in this exercise of faith and see what I'm going to do. So when we give, in his sovereign wisdom, he begins to develop trust in us, because it sometimes takes faith to just put it in the plate and say, wow, man, it's tight this month. I got this to pay, and this to pay, and God is asking for 10%. God understands my heart. Hey, he'll provide. Jehovah Jireh. And we go about our business. And God is saying, you know what? I want you to start exercising faith. I want you to begin to trust me, to set apart this amount that I'm putting in your heart to give to the work of the Lord. And you watch. And then when God comes through, that's another testimony, another awesome story that we can tell others. God was faithful to me. I didn't think I was going to make it, but God made a way. He provided for me miraculously. We begin to see his hand sovereignly working upon our lives. And then next time we have to depend on him, we have more assurance that he is faithful, because he's tested us in the smaller things. And we have a testimony. But like the psalmist says, I've been young and I've been old and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. It's not just a feeling of compassion that he's going to bring about us. It's a detachment from self. It's putting that compassion into work. You see, when he saw the multitudes, he felt compassion for them, but he didn't just leave it there. He just didn't say, wow, I have this fuzzy feeling in my heart, but he did something to feed the hungry and he multiplied the fish and the bread. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is a God who puts this into our lives so that we can practice his heart, so that we could benefit from the glory of his compassion and selflessness. We could detach ourselves from that which wants to hold onto our hearts. In fact, 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 and 19, it exhorts us. It exhorts the wealthy, not to be high-minded and not to trust in their riches, but to be rich in good works. So God, in his sovereign grace, is protecting us from this root of all evil, which is the love of money. He's guarding our hearts. He's preparing us for the Goliaths that we're going to face, that are going to challenge our hearts in the future. You see, that which we do in secret, he honors us openly. Matthew 6:4 says that thine alms or thy offerings may be done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You see, we're going to face battle after battle after battle until we go home. If everyone has thought they were going to retire of being a Christian and then somehow cruise the last few years of your life, my friends, we're going to be battling until the day he takes us home. But the good news is that he prepares us for these battles. It's not like he's going to throw us in front of Goliath without giving us an experience with the lion and the bear in secret. You see, David was being prepared, and he was sharing this with Saul. Saul couldn't understand it. King Saul couldn't understand it. But David was saying virtually, he was saying, King, I understand that you think I'm not ready for this, but God has been preparing me in secret. You see, there was a lion that would come after the sheep, and I didn't have the strength to do it, but I trusted him. and his spirit came upon me, and I was able to defeat the lion and protect the lambs. You see, a bear would come out to devour the little ones, and I didn't have the strength to overcome this bear. I knew I didn't have the strength, but I called upon God who cannot fail me, and he gave me strength. So who is this Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised giant who comes and defies the armies of the living God? I'm ready for this battle openly because God has prepared me in secret. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Man, sometimes we want God to make us mighty men of God, and he's just saying, okay. Okay, I hear your prayer. Start trusting me in the little things, in those secret things. And start giving what I've asked you to give. Start trusting me in how you give to the work of the kingdom. Amen? And he begins to build up strength. He begins to prepare us for the battles that come ahead when the devil tells us, you're not going to make it. You're coming down. No, you know too much. You've seen already. Because when you thought you were at the end of your last dime, you gave unto the Lord and God provided for you. And God made a way where there seemed to be no way. So there's no devil that comes to you saying you're not going to make it. Because now you know you're in the palms of the hand who's got his nail-pierced hands around you. He's protecting you. He's providing for you. Amen? The three Hebrew boys, they faced the fiery furnace. But remember, they had already risked the fury of the king when they refused to eat the king's meat. So God was preparing them already for the fiery furnace way before, long before they had to face that. Sometimes we fret. We say, I don't know if I could stand in this generation. I don't know if I'm, things are getting so bad, so evil, so dark. I don't know if I could stand for Jesus when they start coming after my checking account, when they start coming after my property. I don't know if I read Revelations and I'm fearful. Those who don't receive the mark of the beast won't be able to buy or sell. And those things bring fear and trembling to us. My friends, God will prepare his people as we exercise obedience, as we exercise trust and faith in him, in the little things. In secret, we give unto God secretly, and God rewards us openly. God is faithful. God will have a people, a testimony in this generation. I don't care how dark it gets, God's light is going to shine through his people. God asks Abraham for his only son, the son he loved. But remember, he had already asked him to sacrifice his other son, Ishmael. And that cost him. It was not an easy thing for him to send Ishmael away. God was preparing him. You see, for this offering that now he was going to ask of him. How can we pretend to receive a call from God to go to the mission field if we haven't been given in the things that he's asked us to do, in the smaller things? Are you hearing? I don't know if I'm being clear, but God is asking you to be faithful in little things so that he can lead you into greater things for the glory and honor of his name. And lastly, we give because it opens up the provision of grace for our hearts. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Say grace.
Grace.
He's able to make all grace abound toward you that ye always, say always. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now, the Lord is speaking to us in the context of giving. And he's saying, listen, God is going to give you grace. He's going to give you grace. We sang it this morning. His grace is sufficient. God's grace is enough for what we need. We don't preach you give $100 to God and God will bless you with $1,000. We don't preach that here. In fact, if we give the 100, it's because God has given us the 1,000, not so that God would give us the 1,000. It's the other way around. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My friends, such a misused scripture. All his riches in glory. He doesn't have the American dollar up there in heaven. Those are not the riches he's talking about. His riches in glory. The weight of glory that comes upon a people when they choose to represent him in their giving. He supplies all our need. He supplies boldness to speak for him. Because I don't have a debt against him. I'm not holding anything back. And he begins to open up the door so that I don't hold anything back from my mouth. It just starts coming out and I'm able to witness for him. Because I haven't withheld here. He doesn't withhold here. And he gives me the grace to preach his name. Oh, hallelujah. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not be able to room. You will not have room enough to receive it. My friends, an overflowing blessing. The psalmist says, my cup runneth over. Now, this is not money, because you know you can store up to $100,000 in a bank and you could withdraw and put it in another account. We're not talking about money here. We're talking about a blessing that you cannot contain in your heart, and you have to share it with others because you can't hold it to yourself. It begins to overflow. It begins to spill over to my neighbors, to my friends. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I chose to give, God chooses to show himself strong and mighty, because when we give, we represent him well. When we give, we have faith in him. We choose to trust him. And he loves a heart that has faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. We're not talking about material things here. We're talking about what God gives. Shaken together, running over. My cup runneth over. If you would stand with me this afternoon. I want to pray for everyone who's struggling with this issue of giving. Everyone who's struggling this afternoon with the issue of tithing. They see it, they cringe. They think the church is after your money. And I know it has been abused in many circles. I know a church in particular in Peru, they don't even collect offering in the church. They have a thing in the back, and if you choose to go, because so many people, so many missionaries have gone over there, asked for the money, and then they've disappeared. They've done nothing for the poor, nothing for the hungry. And it's left a bad taste in many circles. And maybe you have been hurt this afternoon. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody in your past, some ministry in the past that has asked you for money and it wasn't the heart of God. If that's you, I want you to come up forward. And if you're just struggling, this is a hard altar call, because nobody, since it's done in secret, nobody wants to confess openly that they have an issue with it, almost like a contradiction. Nobody wants to confess, yeah, I'm struggling with this issue of tithing. But listen, if you're struggling with any issue of giving yourself to God, you hear God calling you to a deeper walk of faith, and you want that testimony, to, like Peter, to walk upon the waters of impossibility and know it's the God of all creation who called you. You want to be able to tell others, listen, God will not let you down because he's not let me down. You want that testimony. You want that boldness that comes, that glory, that open window of heaven. You want to trust God more. Come. And we're going to pray as the musicians and the choir lead us in song. We're going to pray for that boldness to just step out in faith. God has called you to do something, to be someone, to do something for his glory. And you're hesitating, you're halting between two opinions. We want you to come and give that over to the Lord as we pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we desire to give you all that we are, all that we have. God, because you've given all that you are and all that you have to us. You've opened heaven to us, dear God, and we want to see you high and lifted up in us and through us. And God, when the people of Israel came with their offering, there was no tax receipt they were receiving. There was no tax benefit, dear God. They did it out of a loving heart with no interest in what you can give them back. They gave because you had delivered them and they belonged to you. And God, every time we reach into our pockets, every time we give, we want to do it with the right heart. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way in our lives, God. Have your way in me. Cause us to be cheerful givers, the people, dear God, who would give without wanting to be seen or heard or known, but give because it's your heart and give because you have given to us. God, we thank you. Thank you for this church and how much of a giving church it is, and all the people that are blessed throughout the world because of the giving that comes from this body. God, but I pray for people online who don't have a church body that they call home. And God, I pray that you give them the grace to find a church, lead them to a church, dear God, where they could begin to practice responsibility and be part of a family, God. Lead them. There are people searching for a church, searching for a congregation that's preaching the right word, dear God. They're searching and they can't find it. God, we pray that you lead them. Lead them to the body of Christ so that they won't only be taking in, but God, they would be giving as well. They would be part of that body that gives to the work of the kingdom. And bless them in that. Father, now I pray for my brothers and sisters up here at the altar. Open up heaven. That's all we ask, dear God. Open up heaven. We need your blessing. We need your grace, dear God, to believe you, to trust you, dear God, when things are tight, to believe you, when things are hard. We sometimes say, oh, God, you couldn't be asking me for this because you know my situation. But, God, yet sometimes you call us to do the impossible so that we can sing like we were singing later, that you're able, that you're able. You're able to bring us through. You're able to sustain us. You're able to provide for us. God, God, give us that testimony. Give everyone here that testimony that you truly are able. And give us a cheerful heart, dear God. When we give it as unto you. And thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.